Okay. We've been talking over the last 3-4 weeks regarding what the true church is. And one of the things that we've had this statement that we've read a number of times, but I just see that it's so important that we get hold of what we believe is the true church. And, you know, that's the statement that I believe that every church needs to be working towards. And the expression of that church life may be different in different churches, but in essence, that I believe is what God is wanting for each and every one of us, to have a deep, meaningful relationship with Him, to have a deep, meaning relationship with the other people that God places us around, the body of Christ. We can't just have a great relationship with God when it's not earthed in reality with one another. But within that, we're equipped. Every single person, I believe, God has chosen, called. He's given you gifts and abilities. He's placed you within a body. And because a body, God wants the body to function as a body, each person's gifting and abilities and talents need to be encouraged and enabled within the church. Why? Because we want to see God's purpose fulfilled in the earth. And therefore, every believer is to be fruitful in fulfilling his or her part in that purpose. And so by doing that, God is glorified. And I just feel that that is, again, a statement. And if we have to put that up every single week, until we actually get hold of it. And, you know, I believe that this is the beginning of something. You know, we've been saying that for a couple of months with this number. You know, God just wants to, I believe, encourage each one of us that He is actually doing a sovereign work. And yes, Blaise and Dot put a foundation from prayer and worship here. And God is going to build something, I believe, significant. And Helena was talking last week about prayer and the prayer strategy that is coming together. And, you know, that is going to be unfolded over these next weeks before we have an event in the beginning of January. Where we're going to do something prophetic one evening. But Helena will explain what that looks like in the coming weeks, as I said. But that, I believe, is so important. But part of the true disciples, we talked about a number of things already. If you haven't heard anything, please go to the podcast. But, you know, people living as true disciples, we need to understand that that is part of being a true disciple. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Very, very clear that what God is wanting is for everything. There's a number of things that I'm going to be saying, and you might be able to read that yourself. But I'm just going to read some of my own journal to you. Because it's linked to what Helen said slightly. Says, stay true to the gospel. I've not changed. Am I looking for you to demonstrate my kingdom on earth just as in heaven? A true church understands the responsibility to speak, act in complete alignment to my purposes. I will build my church. Faith believes what I say without adding or taking anything away. Faith is key to a true church. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because if you choose not to listen to God, you are saying, I can do it myself. My sheep hear my voice. I speak through my word, and you can hear what I say every time you open the word. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. I think that's so powerful, those four words, have faith in God. Often men, women, we put our faith in things, situations, circumstances, one another. But no, Matthew, Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Then in Acts 19, verse 17, it says, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And then verse 18, look what happened because the name of Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. Again, looking at what a true disciple is forsaking everything, following him wholeheartedly. And therefore, many of those who believed, because they had an understanding of the reverence of God, they openly confessed their sin one to another. I believe that that's what it says in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, when there was a common union. We've been in times where prayer meetings, and this was a number of years ago, where, you know, we're praying for a certain thing, and if somebody had something against somebody else, there was just like an oppression in the room. And therefore, somebody had to then go and say, tap somebody on the shoulder and say, look, forgive me, I've just had this thought about you. And as soon as they've done that, it was just like the atmosphere changed. It was cleared, and therefore then you could do business with God as a group of people in unity together. This is where I believe what a true church looks like, where there is something where we have such a strong relationship with one another and anybody else who comes and be part of us, that in any way, in every relationship, there's an openness, there's an honesty. That doesn't mean that you suddenly go and spill all your whole life to absolutely everybody. But there is an understanding, actually, I'm one with you. We are together in this. We're with one another in the purpose of God. And in order for such a reverence to come upon the body, I believe that just like in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, when the believers had this type of relationship as true church, then thousands of people got added. But there was also a fear of God. In Acts chapter 20, he said 22, 24. And again, this is all to do with discipleship. It says, and now compelled by the Spirit. And this is about Paul. I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and the hardship are facing me. Wow. There's been prophetic voices expressing a little challenge on your journey. How many of us would then back off and say, okay, I'm not going that direction then? Paul had the opposite. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I think that's an amazing piece of scripture. And I believe that, you know, in the 21st century, I believe we need to understand that a little bit more again. Whereas sometimes I think we think that, you know, all this Christian life can be very, very easy. You know, Jesus comes into our lives and it's just going to be rosy every, you know, from that time on. But Paul had prophetic words spoken to him every time he went. Agabus, remember Agabus? He was the prophet who took Paul's belt and tied his hands, Paul's hands, and saying, the person who owns this belt is going to be tied like this. How many of us would have then run the other way? Yet Paul ran straight into the same direction. Why? Because that was God's purpose. And God has a purpose for every single one of us. But that purpose may result in having some challenge. And when we have challenge, then it doesn't mean that we have to back down. But we can actually begin to embrace everything that God has planned for us. And then it says, Jonathan, the fear of your God is not at the level that I long for you. And obviously this is talking to me. This is all personal, but I just feel that it's important to read this. My children do not have the reverent fear as they do not really know me. If they knew me, I am, the great I am, would lead to a lifestyle in my people that leads to heaven on earth. I, through my Holy Spirit, live in my chosen ones. Therefore, I live on earth through you. I want you and all my children to express my kingdom now in the same way as it is in heaven. I want each of my children to live so close to me that they would hear a whisper. In this place of relationship, people would not want to grieve me in any way. And so their aim is to remain clean and not soil themselves with the things of the world that are contrary to heaven's kingdom on earth. And then this is something that really got me. You know, we sing "I Stand in Awe of You," that song. You know, I stand, I'm not going to sing. I stand in awe of you. And I just felt God say, you know, I wrote down, "I stand in awe of you," exclamation. And then I believe God said, "Do you really?" And that got me. Because please, this is about me. And I'm just sharing some of my journey with you. But this is about discipleship. And if we are wanting to be a true church, then we've got to be true disciples. And a true disciple allows God to speak to them and correct them. And it just says, I stand in, you know, that song, I stand in awe of you. Do you really? What does he mean? Do I really look at God and stand in awe? And then he says, goes on to say, I long for my children to know the wow factor. The wow factor. And then it goes on, son, so many people are caught up in themselves. They have hardened their hearts to those external realities of lives changed, lives rescued from darkness, lives healed, relationships restored. And it's a great testimony that Tom shared today, because that is meant to give us a wow factor. One of the things that, you know, in Ben-Hur, this is the old version, not the new version. One of the things that I'm moved by every time I see this film, and it's towards the end of the film of Ben-Hur, and you know, obviously Ben-Hur, he's going, Jesus is about to be crucified, and he's got his mother who's got leprosy, and his sister Miriam who's got leprosy. And there's Ben-Hur taking Miriam and his mum to meet with Jesus. But when they get into the city, there's Jesus taking a cross up to, you know, be crucified. And, you know, there they are in a cave, and then Jesus passes by. And I always move by this. And when Jesus passes by, Miriam and her mum just, you can see their faces just glowing, saying something about Jesus, because they were in awe of him. And they were then ready to go and leave that place, still in leprosy, but changed, because they had encountered Jesus. And obviously Ben-Hur went and followed Jesus to the cross and all of that scene. But then the thunder and lightning came. And then the next minute, they looked at each other. Mum and daughter looked at each other. And then they were amazed, because they were clean. The leprosy had gone. And that never ceases to amaze me. And it was just, it's just like every time I think about that, it's just like, wow, Jesus, you are amazing. You're amazing, Lord. And it's, and God says, I want and long for a people who know what it really is like to stand in awe of your God and King. Wow. How much of you, your life is truly given over to the Lord? And then it says, goes on to say, Jonathan, in every way, I want you to live in awe of who I am. This is, I believe what God is wanting from a true relationship where we are standing in awe of our God. And just to give the musicians and the worship team a little bit of time, we are going to go back into, I'm not saying you have to sing that song, but, you know, we are going to go back into worship at the end. So if you could be thinking of what song you want to sing, etc., etc. But I just feel that it would be important for us to go back into worship and then allow God to do something through that at the end. But, you know, because God is wanting us to come into that wow factor, we understand that he is talking about a holy people, a people that are set apart. Ephesians 1 verse 4, he says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." That's God's purpose. So God's purpose is for us to be a set apart people, a people who know God and understand how awesome he is, where we are standing in awe of him. And every day we are standing in awe of what he does in and through our lives. Because you see, you know, in Matthew 6, verse 10, we do have the Lord's Prayer. You know, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." God is already on earth through his Holy Spirit in your life. Christ lives in you. And therefore, if we take this, because you've already been set apart, you have already been made righteous, you already have been made holy, then all of these things come through you. His kingdom purposes are revealed through you. Belle's neighbor, what was his name again? Zach. Because of the Holy Spirit living in Belle, God has made himself something real in her. And because we're expecting his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, Belle's lifestyle, Belle's character, Belle's words will reveal the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. You can put yourself in any of those situations, wherever you live, whatever you do, whether you're a mum, or, you know, whether you're a singing artist, whatever. God is wanting us to understand that as a true church, and everyone and every member of a true church is a set apart person. And therefore, we are the answer to that prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. People will know what that looks like when they see you, or so they should do. Why? Because you're set apart for the purposes of God. And because the Holy Spirit lives in you, then it's he is reflected through your life. I think that's amazing. The church is to be a body of people living the life of God's kingdom here on earth. This means we are living under the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ. We do not merely call him Lord, but allow him to be Lord of our lives. Therefore, a holy people seek to do the will of him who called them out of darkness into his wonderful light. They do not compromise with spiritual darkness of sin, but walk in the light as the children of light. They appreciate that they will only be effective in rescuing people from darkness if they themselves are living in the light of God's truth. This is what a true church, I believe, looks like. It's alive with the purposes of God. It's alive with who God wants us to be. He's alive with that awe of what he wants to accomplish, that we are so a people not only consumed with our own relationship with him, but we are consumed with wanting him to be made known through our lives so that we are fulfilling our part in the purposes of God. But we stand in awe of him, because it's his life that we're meant to be reflecting. It's his light that we're meant to not be hiding under a bushel, it says. We're meant to be a church that is not hidden. And sometimes, you know, in these last 6-7 months, I felt that sometimes we have been like a church that God is just working and plying around, you know, like a potter with his clay. And, you know, God is, it's not that God's hidden us, but I believe God is forming us into something where then he can actually send people into a group of people who are living this out. Because if God sent 100 people to us today or tomorrow, next week, then we would have a job to try and get this molded in the shape that God wants. Now, please, Lord, not long. I want to see more and more people. Why? Because I have a global vision. I've got a heart for the city. I want to see Jesus known throughout this whole town, this city, this nation. You know, God has allowed me to go to many, many different nations preaching the gospel, and I love doing that. But God's placed us in London for a purpose, and that's to make his name known. But I want people who come into the church here, and I trust that that will be the church in the whole of London, that when they do come, that there is an understanding that we are wanting to be people who are constantly in awe of what God, who God is and what he is doing amongst us. You know, the awe moments where, you know, when Amy and Murray were born, you're just awestruck by how amazing God is within that creation of a little one. Until you've gone through it, you don't understand how awesome it is. But, you know, God wants us to experience those awesome things every single day. Why? Because we're in relationship with the awesome one. And that's why I felt it was important for you to read my, you know, a little glimpse of my journal, because within that statement, I stand in awe of you. Do you really? And it's all linked in my journal with fear, the fear of the Lord, and coming into that understanding that if you're in relationship with God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, then you are in a relationship with somebody who you need to go, wow, wow, this is my father. Wow, I need to take this not flippantly. I think God wants us to have a relationship with him that is full of joy, not in a sense a heavy thing. And I pray that this is not heavy, that I don't want that to come across as heavy. It's actually the most freeing relationship on the face of this earth, because you know that if you're clean before him, then you're free. You're totally and utterly free to be who God wants you to be. There's no baggage. There's nothing clinging onto you from the past, or, you know, even the present that you're trying to work through, you're trying to battle through. Because you're in a relationship with him, he really brings freedom into your life. And when this relationship and this church, I believe God wants to form the true church, is the most lively, it's most exciting, it's the most fun church to be. Yes, there is a seriousness about it when we pray, that we are talking about 8 million people in this city who need a relationship with God, if we take out a small percentage of believers. But we are talking about a small percentage of believers out of 8 million people who need to hear the truth of who Jesus is. But when Jesus was on this earth, he was the most joyful person, and that was why scripture makes a comment about that. And because he and we are meant to be reflecting him, I want this place to be fun, but understanding that we are still in the awesome presence of God. And it's that holding those two things together, that yes, there's a freedom, there's a joking, and I love joking, but there's also an awesome respect of who God is. We had, for those who were here a little bit late today, we had a video, 5-minute countdown video of some dancing. And, my daughter certainly doesn't like me dancing. She says I embarrass her. But it was quite an amusing clip. And, for me, it's funny. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure we're in awe of him. Awe of who God is within all of that. And yes, we can have the laugh and we can see the video, but we're also aware that we're in the awesome presence of God. And at any moment, he can choose to do whatever he wants with any one of us. And it may be that, he gives one of you a word, he gives you a scripture that actually, we just need to hear at the appropriate time, because at the end of the day, God speaks to you as well as he does to me. But as he said to me, he says, I want you to be a children to live so close to me that they would hear a whisper. That's how God wants to be. But, it's a people who seek after God and his purposes. They come together to worship and pray. They present their bodies as living sacrifices. Obedience is one of the words that a lot of people don't like, because they believe it's controlling. But when you understand the true church and what Jesus means by obedience, this is the most freeing thing, and it's actually the most safe thing that we possibly can, be. Because when we're obedient, we're doing what God wants. I mean, Helen and I have been to certain places in Central Asia, and you have 7-8 hour drives to get to some of the outlying villages. And there's a place called Karakol. And in Karakol, you have situations where most of the believers at some point have had knife attacks. They've been burnt. They've been ousted from homes. There's been murders. But as a Christian, they walk around these places, and it's just like matter of fact, of course, it says in the Bible that you'll be persecuted. And so it's my expectation that some things may happen, but Jesus is still my Lord. He's still my Savior. He still looks after me. It says so in the Word, that my grace is sufficient for you. Even in all of those, I went into a home where it was a father and the son had been murdered for his faith. And there I am sipping, and he said, oh yeah, he was killed there, just over there. We were in another person's home, Helen and I, and this lady sort of said, my neighbour stabbed me. And it wasn't that she was telling, it was just part of her story. It was just like you and me talk about football. She was just talking about being stabbed. And she got to hospital and, they sewed me up, and then I got on with the business, and then it was healed. But it was taken, it was that type of conversation, because it was just matter of fact. Yeah, that happened to me, and then God healed me. Why? Because why wouldn't he? He's the awesome God. Why wouldn't he be doing those sort of things in today's world? Exactly, of course. And that's the mindset, because, God's the same God as he always has been. So why isn't your expectation of the awesome God that he is, that he will be doing awesome things around us? It's just an incredible. And when we were there, we knew, because that's where God called us, that was the safest place to be. And so therefore, even though our daughters were at home and we were in this middle of nowhere, couldn't contact them, it was still, for us, the safest place to be. My daughters want me to write a will, but that's beside the point. No. Sorry. But other places we've been to. Helen has been there twice, once without me. And then she took me with her the second time. But what I'm saying is that when you're obedient to what God asks of you, then you can be in ready for a great adventure. Why? Because he's in control then. If you're saying yes to him, then all you're saying is, okay, now it's over to you, Lord. I can't do this. Why? Because it's you. And because it's you, then it's going to be everything else. The local church then is to be a body of believers who are living in a relationship of love that binds them together in unity, serving one another. Again, it's what Helen was saying in Acts chapter 4, what she read out. Because that, I believe, is another expression of the true body of Christ. Laying down their lives for one another. Everyone is submitted to the common vision of that congregation. And that's partly why we're talking about the true church. So we can get a picture of what that looks like. We are talking about prayer and that strategy unfolding so that we can be in unity with one another in those things. So that we're resisting any temptation to be independent, either in attitude or action. That's important, actually. Because, you know, we've been talking about the body. We've been talking about how God wants us to work together. And there's too many Christians out there at this moment in time where they are looking at TV and they see that as their church. That can't be their church because there's no living relationship. There's no earthing of what they're hearing. They're just listening to all of this teaching, but then they're saying, okay, I don't have to work that out with anybody else. That's not real. God wants a reality. Jesus was walking around this earth with 12 people. Then he had these three. Then there was 72. Then there was actually 120 in the Acts, you know, the upper room. So there was a lot of people who were around Jesus all of the time. And then he took time aside with smaller groups of people. Why? Because they were wanting to do life. And that unity is so, so important. That's not too much left. A true church appreciates that God's purpose for their lives individually and corporately can only be fulfilled through obedience to him. The church needs to see themselves united in common purpose to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit in the body. There will be unity in vision, direction, and purpose. Therefore, the true church will be a people of the word, of faith, of love. Are people who are living as true disciples, denying themselves and following Jesus. A true church will see themselves as a holy people, set apart for God's purposes. They are a worshipping people with a desire to know him better, to lay hold of everything for which he has laid hold of them. And then again, apostolic submission to him. You don't quickly read those things. A true church will be full of spirit. They'll have a prophetic calling, speaking what God gives them. Prophetic is not something. Prophetic is speaking the word of God. It's uttering what he says. And that can be a scripture, can be prophetic in a situation, because that's the now word of God. Or it can be a little bit more in depth, and it could be something from the spirit which will be aligned with the word of God. The true churches are submitted to the leadership, the fivefold ministry. That's why we're part of an apostolic work. And those fivefold ministries, the pastor, teacher, prophet, the apostle, and the evangelist, thank you. They're all together, working together. But even if you don't see yourself fitting into any of those five, God still has other things. There's other gifts and abilities. There's an administrator. There's all sorts of other people out there. Hospitality is another one. The small submitted a true church are to him, to the Father, the awesome one, the more the power and the authority of his kingdom can be manifested in the life of that church, corporately, as well as their lives individually as a witness. And then Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That make every effort, that's each one of us has to make that effort. It's not something that's going to come out the blue. That means every single one of us has to make the effort. And therefore, if somebody does find, you know, anything, you know, that we say, oh, I don't like that, or anything, don't go away without talking to us. Or if somebody else has done something in this group of people and anybody who joins us, then we want to have a relationship with one another of trust. And if something is said or done that we're, I don't like that, then, you know, I want us to have a relationship, such a relationship where we can actually go and say, actually, you know, I don't know if you meant this, but that's how I received it. You know, I need that to be put right with you. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that there's a unity amongst us so that God then can come amongst us and do whatever he wants without any hindrances within this situation. And I believe God has been gracious to us at this moment before, I believe, many, many more people will be added to this church. But God, I believe, has brought you guys together because he wants you to hear this so that together we can become the true church that Jesus wants us to have. Can we have the musicians? Can we stand up, please? And as we begin to worship, I just think that that question that God asked me, I stand in awe of you. Do you really? I just want us to, just before, while they're getting together, just close your eyes. And I just want you to just imagine yourself, or however you perceive, however you can get close to God. Lord, do I really stand in awe of you? In my every area of my life, do I just understand how amazing you are, or do I try and get through different situations and circumstances a little bit on my own? And then sometimes try and add you to the equation when I haven't been able to do it myself. Only you know these things. Only you know if in each and every situation you find yourself, that there is an awesome fear of God. There is an awareness of him, and therefore you're expecting through faith for him to act on your behalf in each and every situation. I believe that that's what he wants. I believe that's what he wants for your life individually. But he also wants that for us corporately. That we stand in the presence of the awesome King, the awesome Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because we stand in awe of him, then there will be that wow factor. Wow, Jesus, you've done it again. Wow, Jesus, you give me wisdom in that situation. Wow, you give me patience there. Wow, Jesus, you give me the right words to say at that time. Father, I thank you. Wow, you've taken away that anger there. Wow, Jesus, you've done that again in my life. Wow, Jesus, you healed that person. Wow, Jesus, you gave me that opportunity. Wow, Jesus, you brought that couple together. Wow, you changed the whole situation aground and you restored something that was lost or stolen from you. Wow, Jesus. Let's begin to sing. But with that thought in your mouth, wow, Jesus, how awesome you are.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done this morning in us. And I pray, Lord, that that word would just percolate around in our spirits, and in our hearts and in our minds that would lead to actions that are going to glorify your name in us and through us this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.